Anywho, good morning. It is Thursday. I think it's November the 14th or the 15th. I'm gonna double check here because it's really critical to know the precise date. November the 15th, 2018. Of course, my harmonica skills suck, and this is just a matter of public record. I don't really care. Add that to my list of non-concerns. It is not a concern to me. I have been out of work for more than a month now. And I wish I could tell you that on some level I really cared, but I actually don't. The only concern I have is that while I still have a couple months' rent paid ahead, I will soon run out of money for food. Now, I think I've reached the point in my life where going to the food bank is not too low an action on my part in terms of humility or whatever. It's not an issue. I might have to get my ID updated because you can't go to the food bank without a proper ID. But yeah, I have this list of non-concerns right now because there are so many things I just don't care about. Now, some people would contend, and I know they exist in our society today because they are everywhere now, some would contend that I am depressed because I don't believe in the lie, the description of the world that is provided, especially here in Seattle, given that this is Little Saigon Report number 3, and you haven't heard from me in a few months, given especially in Seattle, there's this message that gets broadcasted. There's this story that gets sold. It's a narrative. Especially if you're a software engineer. If you're a software engineer and you're not happy and prosperous in Seattle, then there's something wrong with you. And here's the funny thing. I accept the idea, because I've come to realize this about myself, that I'm a difficult to wrangle person. Like, for me to be committed to a project, it takes a lot. And these days, you know, I've kind of accepted the fact that all I really want is some job to do. But really, I just want to get paid and maintain a minimal amount of dignity. Now, that second part is the hard part now. I've given up on the desire or the expectation that my job will have deep meaning or that it'll avoid harming people. I don't think there's any job that pays money now that isn't either directly or indirectly connected to some heinous crime. It's the nature of our economy now. It's a giant pyramid scheme of rackets and criminal schemes and syndicates and all sorts of abuse. So trying to find a good job where you don't harm people in some way, either directly or indirectly, I don't know. It kind of reminds me of that software gig from a year ago where I fixed their Angular page, but they wanted me, the next page they wanted me to work on was their page that allowed them to do basically ninja loans. It was a company that made loan software. And the next page I was going to work on was the ninja page, the no income, no job, no nothing page. The page where you basically dump toxic debt on people page. There isn't a job. There does not exist a job in this economy now. And I don't care about the propaganda bullshit. You can say, well, I work for an NGO. Yeah, the CIA went underground in the 1970s, especially after some high-profile congressional hearings. And basically, the CIA and many other organizations, they use NGOs now. That's how they operate. They operate with NGOs. So if you come up to me and say, well, Dan, I work for CARE or I work for the Red Cross, and it's like, listen, you work for some jackass who's abusing people. You contend that you're doing righteous things, but you're not. It's like people who take money from the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. From my perspective, at this point in human history, given my belief system, you might as well be taking money from the devil. So no, there are no good jobs now where you're actually going to do good. There are jobs where you might do good and make almost nothing, but there aren't really jobs where you're going to make a lot of money and afford to have a life, especially in Seattle. I mean, keep in mind, my rent's $1,000 a month, and I basically live in a bathroom with a bed. And it's not like I live in a nice neighborhood. I mean, I'm not trying to offend Little Saigon, but the point is that, you know, it's not cheap to live here. And I don't have kids or a wife. So on many levels, I'm living relatively cheap, but yeah. So no, according to the narrative, I should have a really great job. I should be making $150,000 to $200,000 a year. I should have a wife who votes Democrat and a couple teenage kids. If all the numbers worked out the way they're supposed to, yeah, that's what should have happened. Now, I'm not bitter that it didn't happen. In many ways, I never expected it to happen. I kind of expected catastrophe my whole life. And so you could argue that I sort of got what I expected or what I wanted, or I manifested my destiny. Not really. I mean, I might be able to ruin my own life, but it's unlikely that I have the mental powers to ruin the course of history. So no, I kind of had a sense a long time ago that I was going to live in a time that was going to be pitifully dark and absurd. Upside down, sideways, nothing would make sense, and everything would be chaos, and the only form of sanity would be madness. I kind of expected, yeah, that's the world I'll live in. There are no good jobs in the sense that you'll make a lot of money and do a lot of good. You can do a lot of good and make almost no money, or you can make a lot of money now and commit heinous acts of evil. But the jobs where you do lots of good and make lots of money. And it's like, you'll say, well, what about doctors, Dan? Listen, I worked in healthcare finance for a number of years, and I got to see the insides of hospitals in more than one sense. You know, doctors are like anyone else. There are good ones and bad ones. But these days, if you're succeeding as a doctor, in all likelihood, you're pushing big pharma or big med tech. And yeah, I don't know if that puts you in the class of someone to be lauded. No offense to doctors. So yeah, the only concern I have now is I have to get some food here pretty soon. I'll run out of food within a week or two. And I'm not, I don't know. I'm not really depressed about not having a job as much as I'm concerned that I won't have food. It's like, I don't care really that much about the stuff that we define as success now. There are a lot of weird criteria for success. I don't really give a shit. It doesn't really bother me that the only place on the internet where I even am allowed to have a voice at this point is my own website and, you know, SoundCloud, until they kick me off. But really, that doesn't bother me either, because none of this is going to work out the way you expect it. Not even the way I expected. I've spoken about this before, and it can be a difficult topic, because though it doesn't require very much math, it kind of requires a mathematical concept. But there's this notion in algebra and in the math of functions of discontinuity, which means that over some particular domain of values, you know, again, I want to use the terminology correctly. So over some x-axis, domain of values, more than one function defines the range or the y-value. Now that's a simple description of it, but the idea is this. You have more than one function that predictably defines a set of relationships, but there's a point at which function A and function B, there's a point at which they look connected, but there really is no connection, which means that you can't really predict B from A. And the situation for us right now, for all of us, is that we're on function A, but we don't know what function B is going to look like. It could look, you know, amazing. It could look terrible. And because discontinuities are more in the category of things like the math of chaos and the math of catastrophe, and I don't mean catastrophe in terms of disaster. I mean it in terms of mathematics. There's something called catastrophe theory. It has to do with discontinuous transitions, like metal clickers, for example, or like the transition of water into steam. These are very discontinuous things. There's state A and state B, and there's really no in-between state. So yes, I don't know what the next function looks like. I kind of expect human history does what so many people tell us it does, and it rhymes, and that's great. But what does that mean to us? What are the things that are special about today? Well, one of the things that's interesting and special is we've managed to pull forward hundreds of years of economic demand and human resources. And so we now have a planet that's populated with a lot of people. And so the question mark is, can all those people be satisfied? Can they be controlled? This is the question. I don't know. If you live in a system of rackets, having opinions like these is ridiculous. You know, I don't know what kinds of, I mean, this is getting too serious, but I really don't know what use it is to have opinions, because at this point is I feel like I'm a goldfish having opinions about the person that drops food pellets into my goldfish bowl. These are almost useless opinions. I don't know. I think that, yeah, things are interesting. But the other thing is this. Is it possible that all of this is just a sick joke that goes on forever? This is the other thing that I've thought about in recent years, because I've kind of felt, and probably for reasons that had more to do with my own psychology, but I kind of felt a number of years ago that everything was just going to fall apart. And even though things have deteriorated, and in a sense we are seeing a slow motion train wreck, things haven't really dramatically fallen apart in the sense that they can't be managed. The system still manages to spread a story, to spread a narrative, to tell us about a version of reality that is easier to consume. It's kind of like Fukushima. There's a truth about Fukushima, and then there's the version we're fed. They're not the same version. I mean, maybe the truth isn't as horrible as I think it might be, but it's not what people are being told. Okay, what people are being told is a lie. And that's kind of the situation when it comes to these questions. So, anyways, Thanksgiving's coming soon, and people will be all holly jolly. I don't know. Then there's Black Friday, and even though, yeah, I don't know what people are going to do on Black Friday. But as far as Little Saigon reports go, this might not be the worst. I know I didn't use the Yamaha today. I have to tell you, I haven't been able to touch the keyboard in almost 2 months. I guess there's one other thing I should talk about. So I was on a contract, I won't say where, a software engineering gig. And it was weird, because on the one hand, this place I was working, and this is the last job I was at, this place I was working was actually kind of cool in a way. I don't know. In a way, it was kind of cool. In a way, it seemed cool at first. But the problem was, rapidly, it became absurd and kind of abusive, misleading, and just another example of the bullshit you find in the politically correct software socialist zone of King County in Seattle and this area. And my manager, you know, who FYI was Asian and might have been gay, I honestly don't know, he would come up from behind and he would, you know, grab my shoulder or grab my arm. And just so you know, there's forms of bodily contact in the workplace I totally understand. For example, if two people are walking towards each other and one person puts out their hand, I mean, this kind of goes back to the Roman Empire. There's a purpose to it, and if both people put out their hands, that's a voluntary exchange. You know, people are saying hello, great. And hugs are almost the same thing. They're way more intimate, but, you know, they involve two parties. Hugs are typically, you know, face-to-face. So, yeah, if someone comes up to hug me, I can either hug or not hug. It's a choice. It can be a morbidly ridiculous, oppressive choice, because if you choose not to hug, you get classified as the non-hugger, but yeah, okay. But if you're sitting in your chair at your workstation and you're working, and your supervisor comes up from behind and grabs your shoulder or grabs your arm, And you've never had this in your entire adult life. Like, in your entire adult life, no one came up to you and said, I'm going to touch you on the shoulder. And oh, by the way, if I did the same thing, like, let's assume there was an Asian woman at her workstation. And instead of just, you know, Skyping or emailing, or just coming up to the cube and knocking on the corner, which is what I usually do, or if I can't get the attention, but I don't go, you know, within intimate distance, which just means within like that 32 or inches or whatever, so many feet. I don't do that. I think that's kind of gross to get in people's faces. But anyways, what if instead of just respecting people, I went up to an Asian woman in her cube and grabbed her on the shoulder or grabbed her on the arm? Now, here's the thing. I'm an okay person to hate because I happen to be white. I happen to be heterosexual. I happen to be almost 50 years old. And so, and I'm also a ginger, which means I'm hated by white people as well. It's just, it's okay for me to be treated like shit. And I'd like to say that the weird touching from my Asian manager was the only thing, but it wasn't. It was bad enough, and I brought it up to my project manager, and I brought it up to even the consulting company. And they rationalized it and they said, well, you know, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, it's just weird. I've come to realize that it's okay. If you have the right target in America today, it's okay to treat people like shit. It's okay for people to treat me like shit. I'm guilty of historical crimes. I've never owned a slave. I would never advocate for slavery, but I'm guilty of slavery. I never beat my wife. I mean, she dumped me, and I may have been a crappy husband, but I never beat her. I never really hurt her. I tried to support her as much as I could, and when she wanted to dump me, I left. But I'm guilty of all the abusive relationships. It's kind of just, and yeah, in every war, obviously I'm guilty, even though I'm basically anti-war. I was in the service a long time ago, but I'm anti-war. Been that way for many years now. But yeah, I'm guilty of all the wars. So this Asian guy touching me at work and this other person there accusing me of being a liar and how they claim to do pair programming, except when it came to the, you know, the white man who you keep in the corner. And I won't say there weren't any white people at this job. There were, although it's mostly Asians and Indians now, I'll be honest with you, when it comes to software in the Seattle area. And I don't know why that is. I don't want to think too deeply on that one. I think people have come to the wrong conclusions. But yeah, it was kind of an isolating environment. And the touching from somebody who wasn't my ex-wife, because hey, I hadn't been touched like that since my ex-wife, it wasn't a positive thing. And it was never an asked for thing. You never said, hey, is it okay if I touch you on your shoulder when I come up from behind? It's like, no, listen, I'm at my keyboard. Why don't you just say hello? Anywho, so really not a positive note ended on, but I think it's one of the reasons why the last month I didn't really give a shit about finding another job. I just think every fucking situation here is going to be alienating, and I have to stomach it if I want to eat, if I want to pay rent, and I probably will. I'll probably muster up the level of anti-gag reflex to stomach the shitty software shops in the Seattle area. I could work for Microsoft or Amazon and have, generally speaking, an existentially horrific experience. But as long as I can do that long enough, have a great Thursday.